We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
If you have a Bible, I would encourage you tonight to go over to the book of Colossians chapter 2. Don't worry if you don't have a Bible or you can't see it. We're going to have the verses on the screen for you in a little while. But for those of you that like to hold the scriptures in your lap or turn them on, should we say, you might want to do that in just a moment. There is something significant and special and sacred about the cross of Christ. Would you agree with that? I don't know if you know this or not, but the cross work of Christ is the central theme throughout the entire Bible. Hundreds of books and articles and songs have been written about the cross of Christ. But today there is a great danger in letting the cross of Christ lose its significance in our life. We live in a time where the cross is typically known more as a decoration or a religious symbol than an instrument of death or torture. I'm not here to condemn you if you have a cross on your neck, or maybe you have the cross in your home, or maybe you're one of those Christians who want to put it on your car. I would warn you, if you do stick a cross on your car, please drive like Jesus would want you to drive. While we understand that the day and age in which we live, the cross holds a lot of symbology, the cross must never just simply become a symbol to the believer. There's a grave danger here, where we could end up, as I was reading this week, as I was preparing for this entire week, I was reading about the soldiers who, at the foot of the cross, were gambling with the garments of Jesus. And I thought about these men, and here they were in such close proximity to Jesus, you know. Well, they were at the cross, but they were so far from Christ, weren't they? They were right there, but they were a million miles away in their heart. Familiar with the symbol, the instrument of death, understanding tonight that we know what that means, but distant from the Savior who hung on the cross for their sins. And this week, tonight, millions of people find themselves just like those soldiers, understanding the cross, knowing what it is, but not knowing the Savior who died on the cross. I think John Piper summed it up well when he said this, that life is wasted if we do not grasp the glory of the cross, cherish it for the treasure that it is, and cleave to it as the highest price of every pleasure and the deepest comfort in every pain. Because what was once foolishness to us, a crucified God, must become our wisdom and our power and our only boast in this world. You see, the cross of Christ, friends, listen carefully, it is not the affirmation of our specialness, but it was and is the punishment for our unholiness, our sin. The cross is the intersection of God's justice and mercy, not our lovability. You say, well, I thought Jesus loved me. Oh, he did. The ladies just did a beautiful job singing about that. But please don't mistake that the only way you're loved by God is because of the cross of Jesus Christ. That makes his love become a reality. The great theologian John Stott said it this way: before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. C.J. Mahaney said it this way: only those who are truly aware of their sin can truly cherish grace. If you're in Colossians tonight, I want to read this text to us. Paul writing to the church at Colossae, we're going through this very book on Wednesday nights. It would be awesome if the church looked like this on a Wednesday night. Just saying. Just saying. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, Put your name there. You. Being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you. How many of your trespasses? Say the word.
All.
Everybody, balcony two, say it. All. All. All your trespasses. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. Listen, nailing it to his cross. Have you ever considered the loneliness of Calvary? His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And all of God's people said, the cross is the place where God poured out his wrath on Christ for our sins, where he took upon him the sin of the whole world. The cross is what brings grace and hope to every man. It is the cross, the place where heaven meets earth and grace erupts. The cross is the place where Jesus does not simply meet our suffering, but becomes our suffering so as to transform the world. You see, tonight's service is not so much about a celebration. We're going to do that on Sunday when we celebrate the risen Savior. Tonight's service is about contemplation. It's not as much about remembering. We did that last Sunday. But it's more about reflecting and reminding ourselves that the remedy for sin was the suffering and agony of Christ on the cross. And so tonight we find ourselves echoing and agreeing with the words of the hymn writer Fanny Crosby when she wrote these lines, Jesus, keep me near the cross. There, a precious fountain, free to all, a healing stream flows from Calvary's mountain. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There, the bright and morning star sheds its beams around me. Near the cross, O Lamb of God, bring its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. Near the cross, I'll watch and wait, hoping, trusting ever, till I reach the golden strand just beyond the river. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. What does it mean to stay near cross? It means, first of all, that we need to constantly be aware that although our sin is forgiven, we still need to confess it and forsake it. How many of you are thankful that your sins are forgiven? Amen?
Amen.
In our text, if you look, the scripture says there was a handwriting of ordinances against us. In the simplest terms, what that means is that there was a debt that we owed to God that we could not pay. We could never pay. It was our sin. Listen, there was literally a manuscript of your sin. Do you know what this is? This is 500 sheets of paper. In today's world, we would call this a ream of paper, literally a manuscript. Imagine on every sheet of paper, top to bottom, no space spared, is the record of your sin and my sin. People say, confess all your sin to God. How many of you remember what you had for dinner 3 weeks ago? You don't know? You can't remember? I would ask you if you could remember my text from Sunday, but I would embarrass you and myself. I'll confess all your sin to God. Friend, you can't confess all your sin to God. There's too many to mention. You can't remember them all. They're a manuscript of them. But God keeps a perfect record, doesn't he, friend? And he knows that you can't remember them all. And so he did something. The Bible says he blotted them out. He, to use a modern way, erased them, if you will, with the only thing that could ever cover our sin debt, the precious blood of Christ. And he blotted every one of them out. You should know that. And the moment you and I sign our confession on the manuscript and we agree with God, we are saved. Forgiveness comes and forgiveness stays. Amen? Christ was nailed to the cross and he paid the debt and the penalty. And God, now when you look at those sheets of paper, tell me, what are they? They're white. Why? Because God sees that through the lens of his Son and through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Your manuscript and my manuscript went to the cross and was nailed there. And when God looks at you, he sees the righteousness of his Son. Now we know that our sins are forgiven, but we also know that we still sin. Don't look so pious. You see, to confess sin is to do two things. First of all, it is to keep a clear conscience, to keep things right. Secondly, it allows you to live a clean life. Confession of sin is what keeps our relationship with Christ healthy. Proverbs 28:13 says this, that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth, notice this carefully, and what? Forsaketh them shall have what? Say it. I hate it when Angela and I cannot work things out. When there's a problem in our marriage, most of the time it's me. But the reality is this, I don't like it. I don't like when there's that awkward tension. It's not that we don't love each other. It's not that we're going to, you know, call it quits and throw in the towel. It's nothing of that sort. It's just that things just aren't right between us. And sometimes that can become hours. God forbid, sometimes it's even days. You say, you guys have marital problems? Hello. We all do. But you know what I like? I like when we both look at each other and we say these words. I'm sorry. It's my fault. Forgive me. I don't like this. Then there's other things we do later, but we won't talk about that. I am sleeping on the couch tonight. If anyone wants to house the pastor, I'll be available after church. If you need midnight counseling, I will be available tonight. You see, the reality is this. Christ still loves you when you sin. But he doesn't love what you're doing. And you are his son, you are his daughter. And when you choose to sin, you choose to suffer. And it is not his will for you to sin. And when you sin, you are damaging your relationship. You are causing what I call a gap to come between you and your Savior. Remember that unconfessed sin is not unknown sin to the Savior, but rather it is us admitting and acknowledging our need for God's daily forgiveness and grace. It does something. It keeps us close to Christ. Sin always creates distance and separation. You know what confession does? Confession closes the gap. I will tell you this tonight. I am convinced that the reason many of you tonight may not be as close to Christ as you would like to be is because there is an unconfessed sin in your life. The reason some of you are still struggling with simple obedience, the reason some of you have no joy, some of you are struggling with some deep things tonight, is because there is something that God in his word or through a preaching or through you studying on your own has revealed that this is not right in your life and you're trying to ignore it. It's like you driving your car and the engine light comes on and instead of dealing with it, you put a piece of tape over it. You have not dealt with the problem by ignoring it. And we wonder, I don't know why I'm not close to God. I don't know why God's so distant. I'll tell you why. There's something between you and the Savior. There was an old hymn that I grew up singing in the little church there in England. It's called keep the way clear, let nothing between. Keep the way clear tonight. Remember the cross. Christians who have a close walk with God are those who confess their sin regularly. I had to do a little confessing, I must confess, even before the service tonight. Be constantly aware that although our sin is forgiven, we still need to confess it and forsake it. Secondly, if we're going to stay near the cross, it means we live with the reality that because of Christ's suffering, we can take every single burden to the cross. Every sorrow, every pain, every problem, every hurt, every shame, every abuse, every issue that you will ever deal with must be seen in light of the cross of Calvary. I began preparing about a month ago for this week. And I read something, and I want to read it to you. It was from a devotional that I was reading in just in my own quiet time with the Lord. And I quote, "The agony in Gethsemane was the agony of the Son of God in fulfilling his destiny as the Savior of the world. The veil is pulled back here to reveal all that it cost him to make it possible for us to become the sons of God. His agony was the basis for the simplicity of our salvation. The cross of Christ was a triumph for the Son of Man. It was not only a sign that our Lord had triumphed, but that he had triumphed to save the human race. Because of what the Son of Man went through, every human being has been provided with a way of access into the very presence of God." Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself." Listen, dear friends, listen to what he says, "lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." You see, the pain and suffering of the cross was not just physical pain. It was relational pain. As Jesus was in the garden praying, as he talked about the cup and the will of God, and "I'll do your will, Father, not my own." Do you know what Jesus was facing? Something he had never faced before. He was facing separation from his Father. And he knew the horror that that would bring. Because on the cross, he cried out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, "My God, my God." He didn't cry out for his Father. He cried out, "God, why? Why have you forsaken me?" We just sang that. The Father turned his face away. You see, Jesus was forsaken by his Father so that we could know the Father. He knows the pain that you're in. He's walked the road you've walked. We've been reconciled to God, brought back into a right relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we can cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. Because of the cross, listen, you can make it. You can unburden your heart at the foot of the cross, knowing that our sufferings are temporal. Amen? And that Christ suffered not only for us, but thank God he suffers with us. And so staying near the cross, lastly, reminds us to think about those who stand in desperate need of a loving Savior. Those who stand in desperate need of a loving Savior. At the core of every soul, there is a question that cries out of the heart of man. Am I loved? Am I cared for? What happens when it's all over? The cross answers this and every other question of the soul. The cross of Christ is the hope that every soul needs. Ravi Zacharias, great apologetist, said it this way: "Outside the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no hope in this world. That cross and resurrection at the core of the gospel is the only hope for humanity. So wherever you go, ask God for wisdom on how to get that gospel in, even in the toughest situations of life. I think of the two men on the cross. One man full of hate and anger. Both hopeless and helpless. One who in the last seconds of his life cries out to Jesus for forgiveness. Listen, friends. Everyone in this room knows someone who needs to cry out for salvation. You know them. In fact, right now, as I'm talking about it, you know their face. Who, like the man on the cross, needs to come to the realization that they too could possibly be in the last seconds of their life and don't even know it. Who need to see their hopeless and helpless state apart from Christ. It is these who need to know that they are loved and that the cross of Christ can lead them to eternal life, that it's not just some symbol, some thing you wear on your neck, but it is the bridge that leads you to the Father. Now, you may be wondering, what are all the pens and sticky pads for? Well, I want you to have an opportunity to do something very unique and very special tonight. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to write one of three things on the sticky pads that are provided for you in the chairs. There's pens, or you can come in just a moment and get one from the foot of the crosses that are here. Tonight, as we contemplate what it means to be near the cross, maybe there is a sin that needs to be confessed. Something that you need to come clean on and clear your conscience so that you can live a clean life. Something that you need to not only confess, but forsake. Now, here's what I don't want you doing. I don't want you writing your name or the name of your spouse or your teenager. Well, maybe your teenager, but not your spouse. Maybe there's something in your heart that you've been wrestling with. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's a critical spirit. Maybe it's your sarcastic little remarks. Maybe it's something that God is dealing with you about, and you're saying, I know why I'm not as close to God. Because of this, I'm going to write that down. Secondly, maybe there is a burden that you need to leave. Maybe there's something that's heavy on your heart tonight. Maybe it's some past shame or guilt. Maybe it's some deep sorrow. Maybe you're carrying a load that nobody knows about. Maybe it's a silent issue that you just carry day in, day out. But it's heavy. It may be worry. It may be guilt. Write it down. Write it down. And then, lastly, maybe you have a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker, a husband, a wife, a child, who you know needs Jesus. Write their name down. A soul to reach. Who's the soul? As the old hymn says, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. My sense is this. Every single one of us in this building have three things to write down. You may not feel like you need to write them down, but there's something to be said about putting action to words. If there's a sin to confess, a burden to leave, or a friend to reach, write them down on the sticky pads provided for you. Would you do this with me for just a moment? Would you bow your heads? Savannah's going to make her way to the piano, and just a moment, I've asked her to sing a song. When she's done, I'm going to invite you to come to the crosses. I want everyone to participate in this. This is not a select few. This is not just for a couple of people on the front rows. This was the purpose of tonight, for you to come. Don't write your name down, but come. Take your sticky pad, walk to the cross, and stick it on the cross. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Christ. Can I speak to you? Would be a horrible thing if you'd be like the soldiers and be this close to Christ and then not know him. And so can I ask you tonight, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you right now put your faith and trust in him? Would you realize that there was a manuscript of sins that need to be blotted out? You say, what do I need to do? The Bible says, confess, repent, believe. Would you do that tonight, sir, ma'am, young person? Would you make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior so that the cross won't just become some religious symbol, but it'll become something very real to you and in your life? In just a moment, when Savannah's finished playing and singing, it'll be your time to come forward. I want to say this to our congregation tonight. I've never done this, and I've never asked this of any church where I've ever been a part of. Tonight is not a night to fellowship. Tonight is a night to meditate, to think, to pray. So after you've had your time and you've come, and maybe you want to kneel at the cross, maybe you just want to pray, after you've placed your sticky on the cross, would you respect those that are here that may want to stay for a while? And those of you that want to stay, you're welcome to stay as long as you need to. We'll be here for a while. But after you've placed your sticky on the cross, would you just, in a very reverent manner, would you just kindly leave the worship center and head out into the church yard and keep the foyer quiet so that those here who maybe want to pray and think have an opportunity to do that? The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, that there is a great love that God loves us with, friends. The cross stands as the declaration to us that he loves us and he made a way for us. As Pastor Chad mentioned, it's a love that's far beyond our comprehension. But oh, what love it is, church.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.